You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive.
Not now.
If you haven't done so yet, go to NewChurches.com and download the most recent research report that we released on churches that have multiplied in their first 5 years.
That was really good.
Yeah.
You stayed on point.
Because I ignored you.
Has Ed been training you well?
He has. It's called Multiplication Today, Movements Tomorrow, Practices, Barriers, and an Ecosystem. So go to our show notes today by going to newchurches.com/podcasts and click on today's episode number to get that. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
So if you listen to the other podcast,
yes,
the 5LQ questions.
Yeah, 5 leadership questions.
Yeah, 5 leadership questions.
#5LQ.
Yes, #5LQ. I sat in recently with Barnabas on one called Undermining Leaders. We'll get that in the show notes as well.
That was
and we
when
did
I was
that
out,
without you.
Because I was on vacation.
Yes, and I did the what for you.
I need to listen to that.
You should. Well, today's question is from Shane Mitchell. He is one of our Plus members. So we love answering questions from our Plus members, not only on our podcast, but one of the benefits of Plus membership is actually sending in office hour questions, and we guarantee an answer every week if you're a Plus member. So here we go.
Hey, Daniel, this is Shane Mitchell in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I am with Kairos Communities. What is an ideal number of people needed on a core launch team before you actually project a launch date? What I mean by that is, in a shared leadership role, how many core, really sold out people do you need before actually launching?
So let's just say that was incredibly intentional then. Yeah.
That was a first. I felt it. Did you feel it?
I felt it. It was a moment.
It was.
There was. Let's just pause.
Okay. And so, there it was.
So what's the ideal number of people needed on a core launch team before you actually project a launch date? So how many core sold out people do you need before you launch? Well, here's the thing. There are a few leadership positions that you want at a minimum on a launch team. When you look at these different positions, we obviously have ones like the assimilation director, right? So you want someone who is in charge of welcoming new people into your church, into your community. So there's that. You want someone, possibly it could be assimilations and groups that they're doing together. The other one that you'd want is someone coordinating evangelism, another one doing volunteers, another one doing guest services, then you want someone over children's ministry, another over worship, and another over finance. So, I mean, that is seven. That doesn't necessarily mean that you need seven separate individuals or that you need to pay seven people, but you do want at least these seven leadership roles in place and someone feeling ownership or having ownership over them as you prepare to launch.
Yeah, the way I heard, it may have been the organ, but what I was hearing was talking about a core, like a core team.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is not only leaders, but this is also people that are just committed to your church and seeing it succeed. They're committing to praying and giving financially to help that happen. So giving their time and financially and praying. I would, man, and context for me, I mean, I grew up in smaller churches, but you know, everything I've known, mostly in my adult life and in ministry life has been mega churches or close to it. So I may have a weird bent, but I'm thinking like 50, otherwise it's a small group.
Mm. So, yeah. I mean, and I think part of that is, are you looking for a core team or a launch team? Right? Because his language is both.
It is. So that's why I'm like, I skew toward that to say, okay, man, if you got 50 people, then you can say, we're doing this next year, or we're doing this Easter, or we're doing this at this time.
But it's 50. I would only say you would need 50 people on your launch team if you're hoping to start with 200 or 250. If you're hoping to gather 100 people, out of that 50, I mean, I think you're basically trying to gather your church if you have 50 people on your launch team to start your church.
It's launch team. I think it's semantics because I'm just thinking, hey, I know that if I open the doors tomorrow, I'll have 50 people there. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is your core people, not necessarily your launch team, as mm-hmm. you would say.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, for sure. So let's go through both scenarios then.
Okay.
Right. So if we're looking at the idea of, hey, because I know Shane and he's one of our Plus members and we pray for him. We talk office hours, connect on our closed Facebook community for our Plus members. So there's some background there as well. But with Shane, he is preparing to launch a church, right? So if we just take a look at his situation specifically, he is not yet launched. He has started a missional community that he's gathering people in. Yep. I don't know if he would consider the missional community individuals as a part of his core launch team.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. But I mean, these are hopefully because you've started with that, you're investing into them. And let's just say they are your launch team, right? Because these are the guys that you're going to be mm-hmm. focusing in on, discipling, growing through. So, I mean, in that sense, you would want at least, based on our earlier conversation, you would want at least seven people. At least seven other people based on those different roles that I laid out to be a part of your core launch team. And then you could grow from there, I would say. But at a minimum, let's say even if you're in a small city, right, and you're wanting to reach 50 people or 100 people, you're hoping for 100 people on your first Sunday. Yeah. Or even if you're hoping for 50 people on your first Sunday, I would still say you need at least seven people. If you're wanting to reach and do a launch large and go for 300 on your launch Sunday, mm-hmm. your city's 50,000, 100,000 people, then obviously you need more than seven to set up, to pray, to prepare. But obviously the more the better.
Yeah, man. I'm just thinking back to, okay, so I have not planted a church. Mm-hmm. I've launched campuses with the best of them, and I've launched a church within a church kind of setting. Which is a whole other podcast in and of itself. But I mean, you know, one of those deals was I was in seminary. I had a location that was given to me and it wasn't on a Sunday. It was another night of the week. And, you know, I got that thing up to a couple hundred people. Mm-hmm. But most of what it was just hustle. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, getting people to commit to just come check it out, just, you know, whatever. And then aggressive follow up once they did. And it was pretty intense, but I didn't even do that until I had a good 50 plus people.
Yeah. But before you even started that first service, because whether you're launching a church plant, another service in your church, right, or another campus. I mean, there are a lot of similarities. There are more similarities than dissimilarities.
Yeah, we try to treat them as they're two completely different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just, when you're launching a campus, you've just got a little bit more on your side financially, usually. Mm-hmm. And you've got kind of a core group that you can potentially pull from.
Yeah. I mean, what we're both really saying then, you know, in summary a bit, that you would not want to launch unless you have some sort of team around you, right? Yeah. You wouldn't want to start something like this and go down the road and just by yourself or you and your spouse and have it all on your shoulders. Otherwise, you're not building that culture of leadership development, right?
Absolutely.
You want to start and have people who have ownership over each of the ministry areas. And one of the way to do that is by involving them in the planning process, involving them in the, hey, what do you think about kids ministry? How do you think we should develop it? Rather than just saying, this is our kids ministry. This is the way we do it. I need someone to run it.
Yeah. I mean, people usually don't want to run with somebody else's vision that they weren't a part of. If you've got, you know, plans, budgeting, we just came out of budgeting mm-hmm. and, you know, I sat down with all you guys in your different areas and we went through it as a team to say, okay, It's our ministry action plan. You know, what are our goals? How are we going to get there? Who's involved and who are the point people? You know, all those things. Because if you set a goal,
yeah,
or you try to launch a campus or you try to do whatever and you don't involve that group of people, you can't expect them to be bought in and take ownership.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of my favorite stories on this was from my previous church. The lead pastor, Keith Taylor, he's still there, serving faithfully. I mean, love the guy, have so much respect for him. But he was telling us, he would often tell the staff this story of this high-capacity volunteer. I mean, this guy was, I mean, he was like running corporations. I mean, this guy was huge leader. And he, when he was asked to be a part of putting on this event in a particular role, he was like, hey, can I just actually run the whole thing? Because yeah, as a high capacity leader, I mean, this guy had showed humility and really, he was a member, he was a part of the church serving. But in his, for him, for his leadership capacity, what attracted him was not to be a hireling, was not to just fill a role, but to actually run it. And I mean, that should be something that as pastors, we should celebrate and we should want, because role is to equip and not just to do.
Absolutely. I would say if you have a person like that and you put them in, there's three levels of shared ministry: dumping, delegating, and developing. Mm-hmm. Dumping is you don't care about the person. You just need a warm body, mm-hmm, and you will fill it with the first person you meet that says yes. Delegating, you're at least thinking about the person in the position and how they match up. You know, hey, this person's a friendly person. They smile a lot. I should put them on doors. But developing is that third level, and that's where you really, you know, I think you really begin to see transformation, but also multiplication, because you're ultimately modeling what you want them to do. And, you know, keeping in mind that development and discipleship are two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. And I mean, I've had conversations about this with another one of our Plus members recently, about forming a launch team and developing them. And Shane, in your question, you said, how many core sold out people do you need before you launch? And here's the thing. The way you said it kind of connoted seriosity. Like, I want core sold out. They're going to die on this flag, you know, die on this hill. And We want those people, right? We want those people, but there are not a lot of people who are willing to have that much commitment to something that doesn't exist yet, or they don't know seriously what it's going to be. So to wait to launch until you have that type of commitment, or to have people who are as committed or if not more committed to the plant than you, is going, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's going to be hard to find. So that's where in planting missional churches, we have this term called a SWAT team. Right, it's how do you find people who are servants willing and available, servants willing and temporary? So here's the thing. I mean, if you can find people who are willing to commit to your church plant for 6 months, or even for a year, maybe you borrow them from other churches. You get the blessing from the other churches who are supporting you, parent churches, and say, hey, can we just borrow these amazing volunteers? And you cast that vision and you say, hey, we're going to start new work. We want to reach these new people. We're looking at people who want to be a part of our church for 6 months, right? You're going to have high capacity people willing, and people with a kingdom vision willing to move and be with you, because it's for a short time.
It's what restaurants do all the time.
They have
opening teams.
Yeah, that's good.
So, you know, if there's certain companies that always do it, like a Cheddar's. Hmm. So Cheddar's, if there's a new one that comes into your area.
And Cheddar's is like family dining.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Go within the first month and it's the opening team that's there.
Yeah.
They travel all around the country and they open restaurants.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
They get the rest of the local people engaged and trained up in how to the culture, you know, mm-hmm, how to be Cheddar's.
Yeah.
Really. And this is what we do. This is how we do it. And this is what we value. So for me, we had a similar thing. Not all the time. We didn't have it systematized, but, where you would have an opening team where you would say, you know what, I'm going to ask you for this much commitment, mm-hmm, and I want you to do ushers, greeters, and parking.
Yeah. And the beauty of doing that is you're going to actually have a bunch of those people
stay.
Possibly want to stay if you do a good job at supporting and developing and they catch that kingdom vision for that area.
But you don't need to worry about that, you know, every week.
Exactly.
What you need, I mean, you know, even if it's for 6 months or a year or whatever, if you can get that commitment from them where you don't have to think about that.
Yeah.
That is a huge win. You, of course, want to invest in those people and hopefully they stay.
Yeah.
But
you need to be okay if they leave as well.
Absolutely.
Because that was a commitment. Hey, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to submit your questions into newchurches.com. And there's a sidebar that says send a voicemail. If you're on a mobile device, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches. And we would love to answer any questions you may have on multi-site church planting or leadership development or pastoral ministry. So thanks again for listening in.